Again, folks, it's summertime. Starting today, it's going to start warming up again. Again, we've had a beautiful couple of days. Just fabulous.
And sure have.
And it never lasts. All right, we're going right back into summer. Hot, humid. I have seen multiple stories that for whatever reason, we have an increase in little pests, bugs and stuff. Sometimes harmless, sometimes not. And so we reached out to our friends with Penn State Ag Extension, and we welcome to our program Emily Struckhoff, who is an expert, I guess, on pests. Emily, first off, what a great title.
I'm telling you.
Emily, first off, good morning, and thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, was that roughly accurate? You're just an expert on pests. Would that be about right?
Sums it up pretty well. I will make one addition, though. I'm an expert on the blood-sucking pests.
So there you go.
Mosquitoes and all those.
Now, I'm assuming this...
Which is also a crazy title to have.
I'm assuming this was a lifelong dream, and as a young girl, you dreamed, someday I will be a blood-sucking pest expert and be on the local airwaves. So this is just kind of a childhood dream realized, is it?
You know, I always wanted to work with animals of some sort. Could I have predicted that they would have been the ticks and mosquitoes? Probably not.
All right, well, Emily, I don't know about the lifelong stuff, all right, but Emily, let's start off. Tell us something about yourself. I mean, what is your real background? What do you do for, you know, Penn State Extension? Tell us about you.
Yeah, so at Penn State, I am, like you said, our vector-borne disease specialist. So that means I work with insects and other arthropods, like your ticks and mosquitoes, that can cause disease. And so I work with those insects, teach people about them, do research, all that fun stuff. For my background, I'm actually not from Pennsylvania originally. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and I moved out here a few years ago, and I absolutely love the area. Had a blast working out here and talking with folks and working with all sorts of creepy crawlies.
Now, are you a Cardinals fan?
I am a Cardinals fan. I don't know how controversial that is out here, but I am a Cardinals fan.
It's pretty controversial after last night's game, so I'm not too happy with this guest selection today, Geezy.
Yeah,
come on.
Mr. Pirate fan.
No, actually, okay. I got to tell you, I do love St. Louis. We've been out there several times. I do the radio broadcast for Penn State, and so the NCAA tournament has been out there. Probably six or seven times anyway over the years that I've been covering them, and actually I have my brother-in-law's wife now is her family's from St. Louis, so there's feel like there's a connection there with St. Louis, but it's a pretty neat at least the area that we're in. I know. Like most cities, there's different parts to it, but boy, where it's neat, it is really neat. So, anyways,
all right,
let's get into are we seeing the increase in ticks that it feels like we're seeing in this area? Is there any way to know what the numbers are? Because it sure seems like we're having more problems, both with pets and certainly with the human interaction here and the problems that ticks can cause.
Yeah, so there is, we have seen sort of over the years, over the last few decades, and it called an increase in tick activity where we're seeing more people get bit, more animals getting bit, and then also just higher rates of tick-borne diseases. So we're seeing more and more people getting sick from ticks. And there's a few reasons for that. The first one I'll just mention is greater awareness of the threat that ticks can cause. People used to not be quite as aware of Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases that are out there. So part of that is an increased awareness. But another big part of that is also just the habitat that we have for ticks, so the environment that we have that ticks can live in, and also the animals that ticks feed on. So I'll take as an example, the most common tick that we have here in central Pennsylvania is called the black-legged tick. And it prefers to live in forested areas, and it feeds a lot on mice and deer. And those are three things that we have in abundance here in central PA. And so because we're getting all of these, you know, right conditions for ticks, and we're also more aware of the fact that they can cause diseases. Those are some of the big reasons why we're seeing more and more of those diseases now than we did, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Now, some folks would pull out climate change at this point. Oh, climate change. It's warmer. You know, all that stuff. It's milder. It's moister. I don't know, all that stuff. Does any of that play in here, Emily? Is any of that accurate that, okay, the number of pests have gone up? Somehow it's connected to this weather. Is that true or not?
Yeah, so climate does play a part in it. Specifically with ticks, one of the main ways that climate will play a part in tick-borne diseases and how often you find ticks is that there are many ticks that are, we'll say, adapted, or they're more used to living in warmer areas. So you'll see a lot of tick species that are more common in the southern United States than they are in, say, the northern U.S. But with, you know, with some of these average temperatures getting warmer, suddenly these ticks can live further north than they used to be able to. So we're seeing that specifically in Pennsylvania with two tick species. One is called the Lone Star tick. The other is called the Gulf Coast tick. As you might be able to guess by their names, Lone Star, Texas, Gulf Coast, the Gulf Coast of the U.S., these were ticks that used to be found pretty exclusively in the southern U.S., but we are starting to see these for the first time in Pennsylvania. And part of that is likely due to it just getting warmer.
Now, we had another guest on recently talking about other pests, and I think my question to them is the same one I'll tell you. Have these ticks or whatever slowly marched here, or did they sort of hitch a ride and show up here and now they proliferate? How'd they get here in the first place?
That's a great question. And for most, I'm not going to say a tick could never walk that far, although that would be quite a long ways for a tick to walk. But most of the time it's going to be the second option that you said. They're hitching rides. Oftentimes that could be on birds. Ticks will feed on birds. They'll attach. The bird will take off and fly north. And then the tick can get to a new area that way. But another huge way is on livestock. Cattle especially get transported from one place to another, and ticks can hitch a ride on those animals and be introduced to new areas.
All right, now, duh, birds. Why did I not think of that? Birds makes perfect sense. I don't know. Now, how many different kinds of ticks are there, Emily? I know there's more than one. Can you tell us, what are some of the different varieties, I guess?
Yeah, there are many different kinds of ticks. In Pennsylvania, we have about 25 different species, which is, I know, which it is a lot. I will say, if there is good news, the good news with that is that most of those ticks are not biting people, and they're not biting, say, your dogs, your cats, your horses. Many of these tick species are really specialized on one host animal or one animal to feed on. So they might feed on rabbits, and they only feed on rabbits. And unless you're working a lot with that animal, you're never going to find them. When it comes to ticks on people, there's really about four or five different species that we'll see within the states that can bite.
All right, we have about a minute till we take a break. Emily, how do you tell the difference? I mean, to me, a tick is a tick is a tick. They all kind of look the same. How do you tell the difference?
They do all kind of look the same. They're all roughly the same size. They've got eight legs. They do look similar. There are ways that you can tell them apart, and those are ways you don't need a microscope. You don't need a magnifying glass to be able to do that. You'll see some ticks are different colors. So there are some ticks that are maybe brown. There are other ticks that may be red. You'll also see different patterns on the ticks. So you'll see some ticks have a white patterning on their back. The Lone Star tick, like I mentioned before, has one big white dot on its back, hence the name Lone Star, which makes it very easy to identify. So it can be a little tricky, but there are ways that you can tell the difference between the two, between the different species.
I cannot believe I'm in studio here with a tickist. Tickism reigns supreme. They all look alike to you, Geezy. All of those ticks look alike. How dare you?
I'll freely admit to being a tickist.
Each individual tick is a tick unto itself, right. I'll have you know.
We're going to take a break with our guest. We'll come back. How do we deal with these things? That's the important thing. Yes. Let's Talk continues after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
When the job demands power, precision, and reliability, you need tools that can keep up. Steel, gas, and battery-powered chainsaws, trimmers, zero-turn mowers, blowers. You'll love the ease of use. Proudly made in America and engineered to perform. Steel has you covered at Ports Sports Emporium, 1846 Zion Road, Bellefonte. PortsSportsEmporium.com. From the forest to your backyard, trust Steel to get the job done right. Steel, built in America. Trusted by everyone. Supplying and helping homeowners to professionals with unmatched sales, service, parts, and accessories. Visit Ports Sports Emporium, an Elite Steel dealer. 1846 Zion Road, Bellefonte. PortsSportsEmporium.com. PortsSportsEmporium.com. An Elite Steel dealer. 1846 Zion Road, Bellefonte.
Do you have everything for your next get-together, party, or event?
Did somebody say something about a party?
Let the 64 Beer Store take care of all your party needs with great beverages and snacks. With over 400 beverage offerings, they have all of your beer, wine, and soda choices in one location. They also have kegs for the bigger events, too.
The 64 Beer Store, 1/2 mile north of Interstate 80, Lamar, 6102 Nittany Valley Drive, or call them at 570-726-8687.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is a community partner of Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. You can check out their website at centercountyrecycles.org. Find out about upcoming events, employment opportunities, and other information. A reminder that this summer, the recycling crews will begin their routes at 6 a.m. Visit centercountyrecycles.org for all the latest information. That's centercountyrecycles.org.
The State College Spikes are back home this weekend. It's three games against West Virginia, all at 6:35 p.m., starting with Fitness Friday and Four Pack Friday. Then it's Bucko Mania Night with the Pirate Parrot, the Pittsburgh Pierogies, and the Bucko Brigade on Saturday, with fireworks after the game presented by Penn Highlands Healthcare on Penn Highlands Healthcare Cancer Survivors Night. And then it's a Sunday Fun Day with Baseball Bingo. For tickets, call 814-272-1711 or buy and download at statecollegespikes.com.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Bellefonte. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Bellefonte. Brothers Pizza, downtown Bellefonte.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
It is our Wednesday morning edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. We will have one final open line segment coming up a little bit later this morning. Our final one before America's birthday.
Yes, that's true. Again, no show tomorrow. We'll be back on Friday.
Yes, we will.
All right, again, we're talking with Emily Struckoff of the Penn State Ag Extension, talking about nasty ticks and mosquitoes and
blood-sucking pests.
Yeah, Emily, I don't know if I had to put it quite that way. That just reminds me of Dracula or something there. Lyme disease. I'm assuming everybody's heard of Lyme disease. First off, maybe for somebody, they've heard of it, they really don't know what it is. What exactly is Lyme disease? What does it do if somehow you get it? Tell us anything you can about Lyme disease and ticks.
Yeah, so Lyme disease is going to be the most common tick-borne disease that we have here in the United States. Back in about 2022, there were over 60,000 people were infected with Lyme disease in the U.S., although the exact number of people who contract this disease is likely far higher than that. And one of the reasons why it is such a concern, specifically in Pennsylvania, is that Pennsylvania has the most cases of Lyme disease out of any state in the U.S. It is unfortunately very common here. Lyme disease is caused by the bite of a tick, by the bite of what's called a black-legged tick. You'll also commonly hear it referred to as a deer tick. And it has a bunch of symptoms that go along with it. It can include a lot of sort of flu or fever-like symptoms. So that includes fever, chills, muscle aches, fatigue. The most sort of notable symptom of Lyme disease, though, is a bullseye rash. Which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a rash that's in the shape of a bullseye that can appear on the skin. Those are symptoms that you see sort of in the earlier stages of Lyme disease, but in the later stages, you can see more severe symptoms as well. Things like arthritis and other symptoms as well. And so it is something to be aware of, especially here in central Pennsylvania, and especially now, the time of year when ticks are most active, to be aware of and on the lookout for.
Well, obviously, none of those things are good. Is there, am I correct, there's no cure or anything for Lyme disease? If you get this, what are your options? What do you do?
So if you get Lyme disease, there are treatments that you can get for Lyme disease. Always if you have a bullseye rash or if you know that you've been, exposed to ticks recently, may have been bitten, may have Lyme disease, you can go to your doctor. They will often prescribe antibiotics to help treat Lyme disease. So there are treatments available for it. The key, though, is catching it early. The longer Lyme disease goes on untreated, the worse those symptoms can get. So the earlier you figure out that, hey, I was bit by a tick, this might be, something worth looking into, the better.
I've had ticks on me before, which freaked me out. I don't think I've ever had a tick bite me that I know, I hope. I mean, if a tick bites you, do you know? I mean, like, for instance, we'll talk about mosquitoes in a few minutes. If a mosquito gets me, ouch, I can feel it. If a tick bites you, do you immediately feel something? Or is this sort of a long, it takes a while before you realize, uh-oh, I got a problem?
It'll probably take a while before you realize that you have a problem. Generally, most people can't feel ticks actually biting them. But ticks themselves will stay attached for quite some time, usually up to 7 days if you let them, so which is very long. So usually over that time span, the key is checking, seeing if you have any ticks that are attached or hanging on to you. And then after a certain amount of time, you might start feeling some of that redness, irritation, itchiness, somewhat like you'd see with a mosquito bite. But it will vary a bit from person to person how severe those symptoms are.
All right, now, God forbid you get a tick on you, and how do you get rid of them? I'm trying to think of things. Do these actually work? And I'm trying to think, something with oil or something with heat or a flame or something. If there's a tick on me, what's the best way to get rid of this thing?
Come on, Emily, tell me it's just drink a beer and they'll leave you alone. Come on, I'm rolling the dice here.
Yeah,
no.
Oh, I wish. If only it were that easy.
I was worth a shot.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to burst your bubble there. But now, if you do find a tick on you, I always say the easiest way to get it out is also the simplest. Is you just want to grab that tick as close to the skin as you can. If you have a pair of tweezers or something, great. Grab that tick as close to the skin as you can and just pull it straight out. That's going to give you the best shot of getting it out all in one piece and not accidentally tearing the tick in half or leaving a bit of it embedded in the skin.
All right, now stuff in the store, Emily. I don't know, sprays or what did I see? There's some kind of is it some kind of clothing or something that ticks don't like this kind of clothing? How can we ward off these things so that they never get to the point where they could bite me? What is there such stuff out there?
Yes, there is. So a lot of the insect repellents that you'll see at the store, so things, you know, that like your DEETs, those will all work against ticks as well as mosquitoes. So those insect repellents will also be effective at preventing tick bites. What you probably saw at the store was permethrin, which also works for preventing tick bites. But it works a little bit differently than other repellents. How permethrin works is you use it to treat your clothing before you wear it. So you take, say, the pair of pants that you're going to wear out in the woods, and you spray it down with permethrin, and you wait for it to dry, and then you wear it out into the woods. And what happens is when ticks start to crawl on that treated clothing, that's what we call hot footing, where it'll sort of burn the feet of the ticks, and it will cause them to fall off of you before they have a chance to attach. It also works very nicely because it lasts for multiple washes. So you can treat your clothing once, and you're good to go for 4-5 washes. So you don't have to remember to reapply every single time you go outside. You treat it once, and you're good to go for a while.
But does it ruin the clothing, Emily?
It should not ruin your clothing, nope. It does have a bit of a smell when you first apply it, so you will smell it a little bit, but it will not ruin your clothes.
Okay. I mean, Emily, is there anything natural, like natural stuff? We've done some stories and things recently involving chemicals. I'm trying to stay away from chemicals, all right? Chemical anything. Are there any natural something, I don't know, vinegar or something that would help to ward off ticks and maybe other pests? Natural stuff.
So you can get insect repellents that are made with lemon eucalyptus oil, which are quite effective at reducing mosquito and tick bites. They've been tested. We know it actually works quite well. And so that when people ask about natural alternatives for insects and tick repellents, lemon oil eucalyptus repellents are usually the way to go. You will also see other repellents, either, you know, like DIY blends with essential oils. We generally recommend against using those just because we don't know exactly how effective they all are and because they likely don't last very long. Essential oils evaporate super quickly, which means that if they do provide any protection, it's probably not for super, super long. So if you're looking for a more natural option, lemon eucalyptus oil-based repellents might be the way to go.
All right, and you're sure that, you know, like drinking a couple of IPAs won't ward them off, huh? I keep trying.
You could try pouring it on your arm or something. I don't know if that's
that
going to work.
That does not seem like a good
Now, again, Emily, all these things you just mentioned, they repel ticks or they kill them, all right? I'm a tickist.
Yeah.
I want them dead.
I don't think it kills.
Okay? Do they repel or is any of this stuff just kill them?
So the permethrin that I mentioned before that you can treat your clothing with, if ticks are exposed to that for long enough, that will kill them. But everything else that I mentioned just repels. It won't kill them.
So it just, like, doesn't go near you or falls off or something?
Exactly. They'll try to avoid it if at all possible. They won't touch it. They won't come near you.
All right. Now, we both have dogs. Does this stuff work with dogs or pets?
So there are a bunch of different tick repellent options out there for dogs. You can get, you know, tick collars. There are different topical treatments. There are all sorts of different things that you can get for dogs. There's also a Lyme disease vaccine for dogs. So there are options out there for preventing tick bites on your dogs. That being said, we don't recommend using, like, human treatments on dogs or dog treatments on humans or vice versa, just because, well, some ingredients or some chemicals might be okay on, you know, humans, they might not be okay on other animals. But there are options out there for all of our pets and furry friends.
All right, let's move on from ticks to those blood-sucking mosquitoes. Where are we at right now? Like, West Nile was all the rage for a while. Where are we at with that or other, diseases, human diseases transmitted by mosquitoes? And how are we doing, you know, kind of a generally here in Pennsylvania and in central Pennsylvania with the mosquito population and with mosquito diseases that transmit to humans?
Yeah, so in Pennsylvania, when it comes to mosquitoes, the most common mosquito-borne disease that we do see is West Nile virus. As far as I'm aware, we have not had any reported cases this year so far, but we do tend to see some cases of West Nile virus each year. And when it comes to mosquitoes, we're also, as you might have experienced on, you know, your 4th of July picnics, barbecues, we are sort of getting into the height of mosquito season right now, where you will find them outdoors, especially in the evenings. So now is the time of year to be aware that the mosquitoes are out and they may be biting.
I'm rubbing the back of my neck because one of those suckers got me a couple of days ago.
Yep, me too. You know,
right,
same spot, actually.
Back of my neck.
Yep.
Emily, I saw a story, I think last week, that apparently for the country, yeah, I think the whole country, dengue fever apparently is significantly up right now. And I think dengue fever, I don't know, Africa or someplace. Do you know anything about that? Like, there's some big increase in dengue fever and mosquitoes spread that.
Yes, so I've seen some of those stories as well. So for anyone listening who's not familiar with dengue, dengue is a virus that can cause disease and it's transmitted by mosquitoes. It's usually only found, we'll say, closer to the equator than we are here. So it's very common in the Caribbean, in Central America, in places where it's just, frankly, a lot warmer than it is here, and with different mosquito species than we usually have in Pennsylvania. The reason why it's been in the news recently is because there have been an increase of cases in the United States, specifically in Florida and in Puerto Rico. There's been a large increase in cases this year. So that's been something that, you know, sort of nationwide when it comes to mosquitoes and mosquito-borne diseases is something of concern because we're seeing this disease in areas where we haven't seen it before.
All right, now we talked about different kinds of ticks. Are there different kinds of mosquitoes or pretty much just one big nasty mosquito? Which is accurate there?
Just like ticks, there are different kinds of mosquitoes as well. In Pennsylvania, we've got about 60 or so different species of mosquitoes. I know.
So, what, tickist, a mosquitoist? I don't know what I am.
Skeeterist.
Okay. All right, the same thing, Emily. How do we ward off these things? I mean, I've seen those things. If you're outside, you kind of burn something. You put it on a table, and it's supposed to, I don't know, emanate in the area or whatever. I don't know if that stuff works or not. What's a way to keep away mosquitoes?
Yeah, so first thing I'll just mention, like I did before, all of those repellents that we were talking about earlier for ticks, those will also work against mosquitoes. So those can work for both. You can also use those to prevent mosquito bites. Around your house, one thing that you can do is actually removing standing water. So say if you have a bucket that's sitting outside that's full of water that's been sitting there for a while, that's where mosquitoes breed. Mosquitoes are aquatic, meaning that they live in water when they're younger and they're in mature life stages. So if you're having a mosquito problem around your house or you want to get rid of mosquitoes around where you live, one of the first things you can do is getting rid of any of that standing water that can reduce the number of mosquitoes that can reproduce in an area. And can make it so that they're less flying around and biting you.
We got about 30 seconds left, Emily. Japanese beetles, I despise. Are they officially a pest?
Japanese beetles, those are considered a pest. I'm not sure exactly how common they are in Pennsylvania, but I can tell you when I lived in Missouri, they were very common and absolutely were considered a pest.
Come visit my backyard, Emily. I saw them last night. Okay.
Oh, I found one yesterday near where I live. They're definitely here.
Yeah, right about now. Early July is when these suckers show up. I hate those. Yep. Anyway, at least they don't bite me. Yeesh. Hey, Emily, we appreciate your time and information this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, folks, it's summer and we got to deal with pests. Sorry. Pirates fans, you know, pests.